Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Happy, happy Friday. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Very excited to be here today. Again, I know I say this a lot, but it's unbelievable. I get to talk to you guys every weekday from 12 to 3, and we vent and we rant and we try to come up with some ideas, and it's just a lot of fun. And today's going to be no exception. We have a lot of great stories. We have Jessica Vaughn from the Center of Immigration Studies coming on at 105. That's the thing about illegal immigration. We heard about it all the time when Trump was president. Infographics galore, you know, all your friends on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, they were all crying about the mamas and the babies being separated. You know, it was a daily topic of conversation. And now you just don't hear about it as much. And it's not because Biden solved the problem. No, not by any means. If you go by his own numbers, the numbers coming out of the White House, he has a huge problem at the border. And Jessica Vaughn's going to talk to us about that, including a lot of vaccine hesitancy, shockingly, from people crossing the border, the southern border. They're not as crazy about the idea of getting this vaccine as the left would like them to be.
What's that all about?
And I'm always told that it's NASCAR watchers and people who are tuning into the Deadliest Catch and drinking Mountain Dew that we have to worry about. But as more information comes out, it seems there's a lot of people who are a little skeptical. And again, I say this all the time. That's fine. It's a free country. You can do what you want. But I do find it interesting that the left wants to drill down on these vaccine skeptics and go door to door knocking. And then they pretend that we don't have floods of illegal aliens coming in unvaccinated. And that's unvaccinated against COVID, but they also have a lot of other issues that they're coming in with, including head lice, all sorts of things. We'll get into that with Jessica Vaughn. What I really want to talk about right now is something a little bit stranger. But then again, Joe Biden is the president, and it seems like every day there's a new weird thing. And to be fair, his town hall was not last night, but the night before, Wednesday night. And the ratings are in, and they... Even for Joe Biden standards, it's hard to put a shine on this one. I mean, they're bad. They are very bad. And I want to get specific. I want to give you guys the real numbers. CNN, this town hall was hosted by Don Lemon. He did a bang-up job. It was a disaster. And the left-leaning network sat in the shadows, according to Breitbart, of Fox News and MSNBC for primetime hours. Don Lemon and CNN garnered just a little more than half the amount of total viewers Fox News had at the same time and finished third in the ratings for Wednesday night, falling just behind MSNBC. And maybe I've always thought of this incorrectly, but I always considered, as far as the more prestigious of the fake news networks, I always thought CNN was ahead of MSNBC. I thought CNN was really, because when I think MSNBC, I think Rachel Maddow, you know, talking for hours about bombshells that end up being Trump's taxes that he talks about in the opening credits of The Apprentice. Like, that's when I think MSNBC. I think Joy Reid. I think Morning Joe. I don't think credible sources here. But CNN seems to be, in the eyes of the Moonbats, even less watchable, which is interesting. So the president goes on CNN for this town hall and he draws 1.46 million viewers. 1.46, just to give you some idea of what other people were drawing, because it's all relative, as they say. That is down significantly from CNN's town hall with Biden in February, which drew 3.5 million viewers. During that same 74-minute time frame on Wednesday, Fox News received an average of 2.7 million viewers for Tucker Carlson Tonight and a portion of Hannity. CNN did better in the rankings for the 25 through 54 demo. That was ahead of MSNBC. They had more in that key demo, but they were still well behind Fox News. So in the demo they supposedly did well in, they had 297,000. Fox had 475,000, and they didn't have the President of the United States on their show. For primetime viewership on Wednesday, Fox News dominated across the board with an average of 2.36 million viewers, compared to MSNBC's 1.63 million and CNN's 1.28 million. Yikes.
And 8 to 5. 2 to 3 out of 5.
But I want to be very, very fair here. Because I didn't come on here to open this monologue and just bash CNN for their terrible ratings. That is gravy, of course. That's a wonderful thing I get to do. But we have to be fair. We're all about honesty here. 1.46 million sounds bad. But with these things, you do always have to adjust. You have to adjust for viewers and, you know, there's all different ways to watch. So I would like to adjust this number because there were at least 12 or 13 people in the audience, at least. So we need to add that to the 1.46 million. Because I know not all of his 81 million voters came out for that town hall, but a very small portion of them did, and they deserve to be counted because they had to sit through some painful stuff.
Biden's losing it.
Now, speaking of the town hall, the real reason I brought this up is that Biden, we were going over everything yesterday. He made a lot of strange remarks. He specifically was talking about reducing inflation. It was like a chip malfunctioned and he just started repeating himself. I didn't know if it was a Beetlejuice thing, if he thought maybe he said it three times, it would come true. I don't know. But there were several mistakes. And CNN's Daniel Dale, who we reference a lot on this show, actually fact-checked Joe Biden. The reason I know this is because last night I was writing a piece and I was kind of talking about how there are certain lies that are accepted by the media because they're considered noble lies. And Joe Biden is a teller of noble lies. So when Trump told lies, or Trump even exaggerated, told jokes, CNN, MSNBC, all these fact checkers like Daniel Dale would go ham. They spent their lives going, actually, and correcting Donald Trump. And if you went on Snopes, if you went on Reuters, it was, you know, verdict, false. And they'd have like a big stop sign or a big X. Verdict, liar. And now I'm looking last night, I'm going through them, and the verdict is like, it's complicated. Partially true, partially false. We need more context. That's a big one. Missing context. Actually, at one point I looked at one yesterday. It was an old fact check. I believe it was Reuters, and it was about when Joe Biden said we have the most extensive election voter fraud in the country. And that's what he said. You know, there's no debating it. There's a video of him saying
it. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
And you know what Reuters actually wrote in their fact check? I know this is old, but I just have it fresh on my mind. They actually wrote it was a slip of the tongue. It was a slip of the tongue. I'm like, huh. Okay. What he probably meant, and anytime Joe Biden makes a mistake, it's a gaffe. It's classic Joe. And then Trump makes a mistake and he's a liar. But, so as I'm writing this, I'm mentioning Daniel Dale, so I just decided to do a quick search, and it turns out he did do a fact check yesterday on Joe. And that's how you know Joe was really bad, because a lot of his figures were off. And of course, they soften up their language for Joe. Well, you know, he probably meant this, but he was wrong about this number, even with this being said, yada, yada, yada. And we'll get to all that, because that's interesting. It's interesting the stuff Joe was wrong about. I mean, there were so many things that he said, including the price of cars, lumber, all sorts of things. He was incorrect. But there was a part of the town hall that I didn't get to, because I thought it was stupid, and I didn't think it was worth playing. And I actually think I gave Joe a break on it, because he referred to QAnon, and it was weird. And if you don't know what QAnon is, you don't need to. It's a very small group of people on the internet who are weird and who believe all these conspiracy theories. And I really think that the Democrats are more obsessed and interested in QAnon than the Republicans, because they bring it up all the time. Now, someone must have just recently told Joe about it. As Stephen Miller said, Joe just found out about QAnon, and he is very intrigued.
Yeah, maybe the horn insurrectionist QAnon shaman guy has been interrogated by the White House.
Yes, so he was part of QAnon. I never really get into it because it's conspiracy theories and it's a waste of time. But the president of the United States has nothing but time. He has time to kill. So he said this at the town hall. Cut one.
But some of the stuff, I mean, QAnon. The idea that the Democrats or the Biden is hiding people and sucking the blood of children and doing... No, I'm serious. That's... Now, you may not like me, and that's your right.
And I thought to myself, I'm like, it's probably not a good idea considering this stuff is foolish and, you know, these people are out of their minds. It's probably not a good idea to add fuel to the fire, to start talking about it, you know, on national television. Because it is a very small... The internet, it's not the world. You know, if you asked most Republican people, everyday people, parents, you know, who are worried about critical race theory, they're not into QAnon. They're just going about their daily lives. I don't know when Joe found out about this, but you can tell it was recently. Because last night, he interacts with reporters. It's like after midnight. He's stumbling back into the White House. And he does it again. A reporter who, by the way, should never be allowed on that beat again because she had the nerve to ask him a real question when clearly this was an ice cream type of question moment. You know, it's late at night. You ask him about ice cream. That's just an easy rule. She asked him about it, and he again went back to QAnon. Cut two.
You are not defunding the police.
And are there people who, in the Democratic Party,
are there people in the Republican Party who think we're sucking the blood out of kids?
I'm not sure. Are there people in the Democratic Party who want this?
This reporter asked him, are there people in the Democratic Party who want to defund the police? And I was reading a lot of different pieces on this. An easy answer would have been yes, because a lot of Democrats are on the record about this. Ilhan Omar, AOC, Ayanna Pressley. There's plenty of Democrats who have confirmed they want to defund the police. Or he could have just said, I'm not taking questions. But to do this, I believe it's what the Democrats call a whataboutism for a small group of people on the internet, and to pretend that it represents the thoughts of most Republicans, like he's shooting back. He thought this was a great response. Do Republicans think Democrats are, what did he say, sucking the blood out of kids? And he thought he dropped the mic. Jared's laughing.
Just the sentence itself.
It's like things you don't say. Like, just leave that alone. Don't go into QAnon conspiracy theories.
So, Grace, how's your morning going? I'm not sucking the blood out of kids.
And he thought it was a drop the mic moment. He was so proud of himself.
It's only 6 months in, folks. It's
imagine you're his handler and you're like, hey, just, you know, maybe don't take any questions tonight. And then he drops that and you're like, oh, God, will you shut up?
Peter Ducey has to ask Jen Psaki about this today. Just say, excuse me, Jen, what's up with the president sucking the blood out of kids thing?
Stephen Miller wrote, Joe Biden had no idea what QAnon was 2 days ago until someone just told him about it. And now he seems super interested. It's just, I mean, we're not going to spend any more time on this. Those are the two cuts I wanted to play. But this guy is losing it. And I don't know how it can get any worse. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it can, but I wait with bated breath.
Bram Stoker's The White House.
I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network, and I'm actually going to tell you guys more about this on the other side. We'll be right back. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
844-500-4242. We have so much to get to today. I'm just looking at my stack of stuff here. I feel like Hayley McEnany with all these post-it notes. We got a lot to go through, and we'll take your calls. But first, I want to let you guys know that I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network, but I can say with confidence, nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. Aviva was in yesterday, Jared. I had a slice of the farmhouse. I had a slice of the margarita. I'm a big fan of the personal size. I had the Aviva salad, which was delicious, and then I topped it off with one of their cannolis. And it just never gets old, the food there.
No, it really doesn't. I had the, I believe it's the orecchiette yesterday, which is like crumbled sausage with the little shells and some broccoli, which is fantastic. And I also had a cannoli yesterday. Can't go wrong.
The food is absolutely delicious. Arancini, pizza, pasta, chicken, whatever you like, whatever anyone in your family likes, you'll find something at Aviva Trattoria. And if you want to win the Aviva Trattoria VIP in-studio experience, all you have to do is listen to Woke or Joke on Thursdays at 1:30, and if you get the headline right, you'll be entered to win. I love Aviva.
Not a joke.
I love Aviva. I love all of their dishes, and I love so many of their locations. I've actually been to 3 out of 5. I got to get to the last two, but they're all beautiful. Jared was able to go to Malden. I'm going to Malden again next Tuesday. Gorgeous spot, open kitchen, great staff. I can't say enough good things about Aviva. So make sure you check them out. Takeout is available too. And once again, tune in to the Grace Curley Show every Thursday at 1:30 for Woke or Joke to enter to win. All right. Now, I did talk a little bit about these fact checks, and I think they're worth mentioning. The specific one I want to play here is I want to talk about the car prices, because what Biden is doing, and I've seen people point this out before, a lot of conservative thinkers, minds. They've said, you know, he's falling into this same trap. And why shouldn't he? I mean, Obama's his former boss, of trying to tell people that what they're seeing in their daily lives is not happening. And we saw that with the 4th of July BBQ. You know, they tried to tell you, hey, the price of beans is down 16 cents. Can you say thank you, Mr. President? And it didn't go over well. It was very North Korean propaganda-esque, and nobody really bought into it because people know what they're paying at the grocery store. I know what I'm paying. Howie Carr knows what he's paying. We go there a lot. We get the same things. We fill up our tanks. People understand this. So it's very insulting and frustrating for people when you have a president telling you, no, everything's actually good. And that's exactly what Biden tried to do. So Biden was talking about car prices, and let's play this, cut zero.
First of all, the good news is the economy is picking up significantly. It's rational. When you think about it, the cost of an automobile is kind of back to what it was before the pandemic. We compare what the prices were for the last year in the pandemic, and they are up. They're up because, in fact, there was not much call for.
Now, I have to say a few things about this. How is the cost of an automobile kind of back up to what it was before the pandemic? I hate to be so black and white about things, but isn't it either it's back up or it's not back up? Or back to, I should say, not back up, because he's trying to claim that the price is, you know, down again. So this is what Daniel Dale says. This is false, even with the wiggle room Biden granted himself with the phrase kind of. Because of challenges created by the COVID-19 pandemic, new car prices and used car prices are significantly higher today than they were before the pandemic. Whether before the pandemic means mid-2019 or early 2020, used car prices have experienced a particularly large increase. So I am a little bit confused about what Joe meant, but he seems convinced that just by saying these things, it will make it so. It's not a lie if you believe it. Thank you, George Costanza. Listen to what he said about inflation, cut 4.
If we pass the other two things I'm trying to get done, we will, in fact, reduce inflation. Reduce inflation. Reduce inflation.
I don't think saying it 3 times helps. And I think where he's really risking it right now is with women. Because a lot of women, you know, they're buying the groceries, they're running a lot of the household, household money. They do the shopping, they fill the car up. And I think he's risking it by telling these women, oh, no, it's cheaper now. It's like, huh? I see you guys on the line. We'll be right back. 844-500-4242. A lot more to get to, including Hunter Biden's artwork. Don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. A lot to get to. A terrible shooting last night in D.C. A lot of news. A lot of news, especially in these Democrat-run cities. But before we get to that, let's take a call. Lou, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, how you doing, Grace? I think this whole Democrat thing is one big TV series that's now running out of scripts.
Yeah.
It's just totally running dry. I mean, you look at it. I mean, you're a theater major. You see it's been orchestrated. One story after another, all of them have been false, starting with the Russia collusion. Then you had the all the stories about the women. Remember the stories about the women with Avenatti and stuff like that. And then you had the impeachment. And then you had COVID. And then you had January 6th. But finally, reality is catching up to Biden. And not only the reality of what's happening to the country, the border, millions of people coming over, none of them vaccinated. I mean, none of them tested. The inflation, the crime, you're going to probably get to more crime later, the woke military, critical race theory.
It's scary. It really does make you think, and I hate saying this because it sounds so dramatic and I feel like an old person when I say it, but I tell my siblings all the time, especially my younger two, I'm like, I've never seen it like this. It really does make you think. Howie and I were talking about this earlier. You know, they're spending so much time, especially with the youth, teaching them all of these things about how awful the country is. And I see a lot of people saying, a society that teaches its youth to hate the country cannot survive. And I don't like saying that because I want the best for this country and I want us to succeed and I want us to stay safe and stay strong. But I am worried, Lou. I look at what's happening and you can't help but be concerned.
Let me inject something here. Also, we have Cuba, which is pointing out the faults of all their communism that they've been teaching us. We've got these people at the Olympics bowing down, getting on their knees, while Cubans are trying to flee this country. And the other thing is, how long are they going to like cover up for Biden's dementia? He's losing it. The guy is actually losing it. Kamala Harris is a dingbat. And I know the one they probably really wanted was Susan Rice, but she's such a liar they couldn't have put her in as a vice president. I mean, the whole show is falling apart, and these media people look like clowns by continuing to try to cover it up. They really do. They're losing face, too.
Well said, Lou. Well said. You're right about Susan Rice. She lied too much about Benghazi. They couldn't put her as a VP after that. But I'm glad you brought up all the stories because there's an article in the Daily Caller and it's just a quick rundown. And I know everybody knows these already, but sometimes it's nice to have a little concise list. And this is four major stories that were considered disinformation until they weren't. Again, just four. I mean, you could probably find 400. But the lab leak theory, very recently, for months after the coronavirus began its spread, Democrats and media talking heads alike dismissed the possibility that the virus could have leaked from a research laboratory like the Wuhan Institute of Virology. They scoffed at Senator Tom Cotton and former President Donald Trump for saying they believed the virus had originated in a lab and labeled it a fringe conspiracy theory. I was talking to someone yesterday, and she's not very political, and she's from California, and she said to me, what changed it for me was the Wuhan lab leak theory. And I didn't think that was this was like a younger person in their 20s, not very political. I didn't think that caught on as much as it did because she said to me, well, I remembered Republicans talking about it and being dismissed so easily. And then suddenly Joe Biden's up there saying it's a possibility and it just contradicted itself. And I was very pleasantly surprised that someone who's not highly invested on either side caught on to that. Of course, the Russian bounties on American soldiers, Russian officials, this was the supposed story. The Russian officials secretly placed bounties on the heads of American soldiers, effectively paying the Taliban to execute Americans. Everyone from the New York Times to now White House Press Secretary, Semantic Secretary Jen Psaki pushed the narrative, ended up being false. The Washington Post even gave Trump four Pinocchios for calling the story fake news. He was flagged. And now the intelligence community admits they did not have high confidence in the information. Of course, the Hunter Biden laptop story. We don't even need to talk about that. I mean, everyone said it was hacked material. The New York Post was thrown off Twitter. Politico said it was Russian disinfo. Jen Psaki also retweeted that, by the way. She's a big, big pusher of disinformation. Someone should let Mark Zuckerberg know. The Daily Caller News Foundation obtained a forensic analysis of the contents of the laptop and determined the smoking gun email implicating his father and his overseas business dealings to be 100% authentic. But still, they ran with this idea that it wasn't true. And of course, a big whopper is the Russian collusion. Democrats and the media spent the better part of Trump's first 3 years in office trying to make the Russian collusion narrative stick. In fact, Democrat California Representative Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell claim to have direct evidence of collusion, which we have yet to see. And the list doesn't end there. Claims that Trump snubbed veterans during a trip to France were rebutted by several close associates, including someone who hated him, John Bolton. Media outlets accused Trump of lying when he claimed senior members of former President Obama's administration spied on him. That ended up being true. The question is obvious. With a record like that, should the White House, or anyone else for that matter, have the authority to universally determine for big tech what qualifies as disinformation? No. Physician, heal thyself. Worry about your own disinfo before you start correcting mine. It's absolute insanity. Jacob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hey, Grace. Good to speak with you today.
You too. What's up?
Oh, pleasure. I really enjoy your insightful news and discussion. I wanted to touch on a couple of things at the end of time. Like one of the biggest things was the spending bill. The NIH gets a lot of money, and you know, everybody's talking about Wuhan, but I was going through reports on the website. You can actually read what they're awarding contracts to do, different things that they're doing and researching. And one of them I pulled up on the website was the Ebola researching at NIH Biomed Texas. They just had some new grants just approved about June 17th, 2021. Texas Biomed, it's in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Texas Biomed. Going to inject Ebola virus into.
I don't want to rush monkeys. You. I don't want to rush you, Jacob. But what's the point?
The point is that a lot of this NIH researching is not being approved or being gone over and combed over. And why are they going to inject Ebola into monkeys at Texas Biomed? And what's going on at this researching facility is something should be just be public information. Should be more talked about. Should be investigated.
Yeah. You know. And what I will say is I think that the intent with a lot of this gain of function research, from what I've read, if you take these people like Dr. Fauci at their word, it is to figure out, you know, cures or figure out ways to combat things like plagues. But there's a huge risk involved. And that's why Fauci is so defensive right now, because he knows that this risk is possible, that if you're not careful, things can go wrong. And what gain of function is basically taking an animal virus and making humans susceptible to it so it can make the leap to humans. And I agree with you. I think we need to ask more questions. And what I would tell you, Jacob, is there's a lot of people who are. It takes them a long time. Scott Hounsell is from Red State, and he's been looking into this Dr. Fauci stuff. He's one of the people who's always requesting onerous FOIAs that really bother the Democrats. And he was telling me the other day, it's really hard. I mean, they write back, why do you need this? You're from Red State. That's not a legitimate organization. All sorts of things. They don't want to give up this information. So I would say keep pressing. I think as citizens, we need to keep pressing for this information. We deserve answers. This was a huge, huge thing that happened. I don't have to tell you guys. I mean, people died, obviously, which is terrible, but people's lives were ruined. People's businesses were ruined. People's children committed suicide or overdosed. I mean, we need answers. This isn't one of those what difference at this point does it make situations. And I do appreciate the call. We have to do the poll question here. And I think you guys are going to enjoy this poll question because it's based off a montage, which is always fun. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. All right, so here's the deal. When I was watching clips of the town hall, I noticed that Joe Biden, he's always saying things like, I mean it, seriously, come on. But it seemed even more pronounced. It seemed like he was doing it way more than he usually does. It's gotten worse, in other words, which makes sense. He's declining and, you know, he's probably clinging to these old phrases he uses over and over again. But I wasn't the only one who noticed. The post-millennial went through. And I just want to emphasize this. This montage of Joe Biden qualifying his statements with things like, really, I mean it, honestly, earnestly. This is just from the town hall. This isn't a montage of like 6 months. This is just from Wednesday night, Joe Biden's town hall on CNN. Let's play it.
No, I really mean it. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm not being solicitous. No, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. No, I'm not being facetious. No, I mean it. I'm serious. Not a joke. No, I really mean it. I'm not a joke. No, I'm being deadly earnest. Not a joke. No, I really mean it. Not a joke. No, I really mean it. I'm not being facetious. I really mean it. No, I really mean it. I'm not being facetious. And I really mean it. No, I'm serious. I genuinely mean it. I'm being deadly earnest. I mean, everybody thought I was a little nuts.
All right, Jared. So what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's your favorite Joe Biden assurance? Honestly, I'm serious. Not a joke. That's not hyperbole. I mean it. I'm being deadly earnest. I'm not being facetious.
We missed one, though. I think there was one about salacious. He said,
"Oh yeah, that he wasn't trying to be solicitous."
Solicitous
towards.
We got to add that. That's a good
Don
one.
Don Lemon.
That's a good one.
No comment.
I think I'm going to say, do we have Deadly Earnest in there?
Deadly Earnest is on there.
I'm going to say Deadly Earnest because I was listening to this and I'm like, all right, he's covered all his bases, you know. Honestly, not a joke. Come on, man. I'm serious. And then he says, I'm being deadly earnest. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
My word is a Biden.
We get it, bro. Just say what you're going to say. He really is turning into Michael Scott before our eyes. I'm going to say deadly earnest.
I'm deadly earnest. Only polling at 4%.
Second
place goes to I mean it at 22%. 43% enjoy. Not a joke.
Not a joke is a great one. It's a classic, you know? You can't go wrong. It's like pizza and Coke. It's just a classic thing.
Not a joke.
It works. All right, guys. When we get back, what I think I want to talk about here just for a little bit, and we're trying to squeeze everything into this 3 hours, which you think it's a lot of time, and then you start going, and it runs out here. I want to talk about the masks, because Nantucket today has decided they've issued a face mask advisory following the Provincetown cluster. And Boston students will wear masks this fall, according to acting mayor Kim Janey. She's bucking the state guidance and she's saying, you know, you can't be too safe. And Carol Markowitz has a great piece on this. She says, we're not going back to masks and lockdowns again. I'm going to read from that. I want to get your take. 844-500-4242. You know, the sad part is about this and doing this to Boston students is that any parent who can afford it is going to pull their kids out of those schools and send them to either parochial schools or private schools where they can, you know, go back to normal life. And it's the kids who can't afford it who are going to suffer. And what's even worse is, as all adults, we're walking around with no masks and these kids still have masks on. It's really sad. We will get back to all of that, 844-500-4242. But Nantucket is another one that is bringing it back. I'm not surprised. The beautiful people in Nantucket. But my question is, if it's an advisory, Jared, what can they do with that? Is that the same as if it's not mandated? I guess my question always comes down to, can you arrest me? Which I know, that's probably not a good thing. But my question when I go into these situations is, can you put me in cuffs? Yes or no?
No, they cannot. It won't stop them from potentially doing it, but legally they have no standing and no ground to put you in cuffs if it's a mandate or a suggestion.
Okay, that tells me a lot. Yeah. Eden Pure is extending the Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack offer for 1 week only. You can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. One for your basement, first floor, and second floor, all in one purchase. Allergy season is here, and it's not ending anytime soon. Jared can tell you that. He suffers from bad allergies.
Yes, I have terrible seasonal allergies that last the entire year, and they are not ending anytime soon. But the Thunderstorm is great because you just plug it in, you turn it on, and within minutes, it starts ionizing the air around you, which creates a super oxygen. It gets rid of the allergens, the pollutants, nasty viruses, anything in the air that you don't want to be breathing. So you're breathing clean air, which is a potential lifesaver for a lot of people.
Go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. I'm going to hold it up just so you guys can see. It's a very small device. You just plug it into the wall. But my gosh, it is very powerful. It does the job. If you have allergies, if you have a dog and you have that damp smell, if you have a musty basement, if you cook a lot, this is the device for you. You will not regret it. Again, go to EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special three-pack. The three-pack special ends this week. I see you on the lines. We will take your calls. I want to talk about these mask mandates. And, you know, they might be coming back. And then meanwhile, in all these liberal woke cities that are bringing back the masks, or, you know, at least thinking about it, you have stories like this. Gunshots on 14th Street in Northwest D.C., people fleeing the popular Le Diplomat restaurant, which seemed a few blocks away. But they're more concerned about the droplets in the masks. Do we need priorities? Perhaps. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with all your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. A few things. One, we are reading entries to the snitch line in the 2 o'clock hour. I know Howie Carr is in his office going, I can't believe I gave her all those snitch line messages and she's not going to use them. I'm going to use them. No joke, at 2 o'clock. So don't miss that. That's during the Crazy Karen segment. They're hilarious. You will be blown away by what people actually call up and complain about. One other thing. Quick shout out to Claudia in Quincy, who made me this adorable makeup bag, The Grace Curley Show. I can't get over how kind all the listeners are. And you guys always surprise me with stuff like this. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. It really means a lot. Everyone who's supporting the show and listening every day, big thank you, and especially to Claudia and Quincy. All right, let's go to Joe. Joe, you're next on the line with Grace. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Grace. I think that the mask mandate will miraculously come to an end when they sell the inventory that a lot of rich people invested in. Because they got a big inventory of these masks, and who's going to buy them when they stop mandating it?
Well, I mean, a lot of these websites, the mailroom manager sends me stuff all the time of these websites kind of giving them away now. You know, you buy a shirt and you get like 10 masks for free. Saying, I'm good. You know, I haven't had a mask in my house in so long. Actually, my fiance had to wear one the other day to some meeting where they required it. And he was searching through the house trying to find an old one. I said, you're not going to find one here. I tossed all those. You know, cut the straps like you're supposed to do so they don't strangle any sea turtles. I'm actually a big supporter of that because I think these masks are going to, you know, for all these climate activists, you should be very concerned about the masks because they're just littered all over the place. It's gross. Yeah, Carol Markowitz said the same thing. She said, you know, we cannot go back to this. And she actually made a good analogy. She said, sometimes after my five-year-old suffers a spill, he requests a Band-Aid, even if nothing is bleeding. It makes him feel better. So I stick a little Batman Band-Aid wherever he wants. But I don't also stick the Batman Band-Aids all over his siblings just in case. I don't force everyone around him into Band-Aids to ease his mental anguish. The equivalent of fearful people forcing the rest of us into masks again. But shouldn't we do it just in case, people ask me? No, we should not. The unnecessary measures and rules are one reason why there is so much mistrust of the vaccines now. I totally agree. When we get back, we have Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies and a local story. A Boston man is in the news. And also, we have the Crazy Karens at 2 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. It's the Grace Curley Show.